Bid you welcome in the Saviour's name to the house of God today, maybe starting 1 minute earlier. Some people have been asking about these wonderful things that you've loved to wear over the past wee while, the masks. All I can tell you is what the government have said, to wear them in and going out of church. When you're in the house of God, they say it's still recommended. It's not a regulation, so really it's up to yourself. Now we're going to worship the Lord as we sing together the hymn 475. 475. How true it is concerning the future. We don't know what is ahead, and this hymn reminds us of that fact. But we know who holds the future, and he'll guide me with his hand. I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see. Psalm for today is Psalm 77. Psalm 77. Never a time I think about this psalm, but I think of the late Reverend Cecil Munnery. I can remember sitting in Whitfield College with the Bible as a student many, many years ago, and he was doing a morning devotion, and he was doing it from Psalm 77, and he was just reminding the students, if there's a time when you're discouraged and you're downhearted, read Psalm 77. And we're going to read that psalm now. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. I hold this, mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in his anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy paths in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. We're ending a reading there at the end of the psalm. We want to remember our students in prayer today, Johnny Stories in Portavogie. Trust that he has a good time there. David McCauley is at home with us this Sabbath. Greg Gibson is in Tyndale. And Pankar Nandi, of course, over in India, who's now a member of the church here, he's in a house church preaching the word there today. And our student assistant, Simon Anderson, is in Six Mile Cross. So do remember them. Remember the sick also. Our sister, Moira McCauley, had surgery yesterday. She went into hospital on Thursday. She was to have the surgery on Friday morning. It was canceled due to an emergency that came in. That was rescheduled for 5 o'clock. It was canceled because of another emergency, but she was able to have it yesterday morning. And before the service, I got a text from Robert to say he's away to out in Elgin to collect her, so she's getting out today. Our sister Barbara Strong is still in hospital, and Tom Brindley is in hospital. And I was able to see that he's looking in, he's watching the service today, and he's requesting prayer for his health. And do remember Dorothy McGookin. We were asked especially to remember her and the others in the home there at Knockin Lodge in these days. And remember the Donald family. Kenny used to come to the church here for a period of time. He's one of the characters of our town, and that makes two just in these recent days that have passed away. Very well-known characters from Ballymoney. And Kenny Donald, he passed away into eternity. And we want to remember the family that are left. So we're coming to prayer just now. Almighty God and gracious Heavenly Father, we praise thee today that there is a place that we can come to and talk to the Lord. And we do so through the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And that reminds us that he that was God became flesh, came into this world, took upon him our nature, and now in his risen glory, he's at the right hand of the Father to pray for us, to intercede on our behalf, to be our mediator through whom we can come and present ourselves to the Lord We come through the blood and the righteousness of God's dear Son. For we have no other argument, we have no other plea. As the hymn writer said, it is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. And here upon redemption ground, we meet with God. We're accepted through Christ. And Lord, we seek your blessing on this Lord's day. We've come to the house of God. We've come, Lord, to worship thee. The chief reason why we're here in this house of God today is to lift our hearts in worship and praise and adoration to Almighty God, to praise God from whom all blessings flow. We recognize that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from thee, comes down from heaven, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And we thank thee, Lord, for the greatest gift of all, even eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And many in this church building have been made recipients of that gift. Thank thee for the day when the Lord drew us to himself and saved us by his grace, made us his children, brought us into the family, took our sins away. Oh Lord, what a joyful day it was in our experience when that happened. Oh, happy day that fixed our choice on thee, our Savior, and our God. And Lord, we know that in the course of life there are difficulties to face and problems. We've been singing about the fact that we do not know what lies ahead and how many times we have commenced a week not knowing what even that Lord's day might bring or what the next day might bring, what tomorrow might have in store. And yet the Lord has been there and our confidence has been in the God who is watching over us, who knows the way that we take, who orders our steps according to his purpose, even in those times that we don't fully understand what is happening in our lives, yet we know that all things are working together for good. To them that love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. Remember the sick ones that we've mentioned and the others that are on our prayer list. Lord, they need you today. We lovingly and tenderly commit them into your care. Watch over their bedsides. Be pleased to bring healing to their bodies and strength. And Lord, remember the sorrowing today. Lord, we think of the Donald family and we commit them into the hands of the Lord. We pray that you will comfort them in their time of loss. So, Father, draw near, be very much part of this service today. Help us to glorify God and to enjoy the Lord. Help us to make much of him in the preaching of the word. Speak to our hearts. We bring ourselves to the Lord today. We pray that you will fill our cup till it's full and running over for Jesus' sake. Amen. We bid you welcome to the house of God in the Savior's precious name. And if you're visiting with us, and we do have some visitors, Jonathan Holland and his wife and his three girls are with us. Jonathan, thank you for the encouragement. You've been to us here in Hebron over the past year and a half. And, of course, the children were very much part of the children's work when it was all done remotely, and that was done from Scotland, and now you're living in Northern Ireland, near Dromore, or that direction anyhow. It's good to have you with us. And we have our sister Joy from Spain with us. I didn't hear if Jose arrived safely, but he did, and Sarah Joy and the family. And Pastor Gordon Thompson and his wife Janice are with us, worshiping here from Scotland. We welcome them. And we've been told there's visitors from Lisburn, from Oma direction, Ballymagurney, and anywhere else that you're from, welcome in the Savior's precious name. I also heard this morning that Sally and Drew became grandparents again. I just heard that before the service, and so we rejoice with them and congratulate them and the family. This afternoon, we go to the open air to the large housing estate just behind the church here, known as the Glebe Side, and that open air will be at 3:30. It'll be in the same location as usual, just beside the phone box. Family night is tonight at 7, preceded by the time of prayer, and this time of prayer is still on the internet on Zoom at 5:30. It's also the dedication of Ada Hegarty, So do remember tonight's meeting. Pray very much for all that takes place. Thursday night is the midweek service at 8 o'clock. And another one of our students, Mr. Johnny Story, will be preaching the word. And this is the Thursday in the month that we remember our Christian school, especially before the Lord. Now, Friday night, there's a special drive-in missionary rally. Under the circumstances in which we operate in these days, this is probably the best that we can do. But there's usually a special evening run in the summertime that has a different kind of aspect to it. But this is a drive-in missionary rally. It's the 6th of August, this Friday night at 7:30. The plan is to keep it just to the hour, just the 1 hour, and refreshments will be served at the end of our time together. It's on the Haffey's Farm, which is 82 Steps Road, Donaghcloney. And there's a phone number there. I've sent this to the WhatsApp group so that you have it, just in case you get lost. But if you get to the Moira roundabout, it is signposted from there on in. There'll be special singing. There'll be reports from Kenya and Uganda. And the Reverend Colin Mercer is the speaker. So that's just some of the information that was sent to me. Pray for it, please. Next Lord's Day begins with prayer at 8 o'clock by Zoom. The worship service, 12 noon. We come back in the will of God to our meditations in Mark's Gospel. The open air is in Kernani at 3:30. There's also a baptism service at 3:30 for Greg and Gibson. And officiating at that is the Reverend Ian Brown. And you're welcome to attend that service also. The gospel meeting is at 7. I hope to be here to preach with the prayer meeting, of course, beforehand. Thank you sincerely for your tithes and offerings to God's work. Tomorrow week begins our summer youth challenge for the children. And this time we are able to meet physically in the church here night by night. So from the 9th to the 13th, 7 o'clock each evening, these meetings will take place for the children. Please continue to pray for the ministry of the word here in all its aspects and all the departments of the work. Remember also the sick and the needy connected to our church and some that are a little bit further afield. Let's lift them before the Lord in prayer. We're asking special prayer for Youth Challenge Week and the Open Air Ministry throughout the month of August. I had the opportunity to preach yesterday in Pakistan to Freya's group, where ladies at the end were presented with sewing machines. So every day they've been coming into this little room, Tharatara Center. They've been studying the Word of God together, but they've also been learning this trade that will help them in their lives. And we had the opportunity to speak to them. And then at the end of that service, these ladies were presented with a sewing machine to take home so that they can work at it there. I want to thank those that were involved in this, who made contributions towards the purchase of these machines. Thank you in the Savior's name. And then, as always, they like to feed the poor at the end, and a meal was provided for them. We preached this morning in a home of a Christian family in Pakistan with another contact there, our sister Deep. And this man read the scriptures for me, and then we preached to the little congregation that had assembled. The lady in the right-hand side, just in the middle of that particular photograph, has had very serious eyesight problems, and a gift was sent this week just to help with her treatment, that she might be able to get some treatment that otherwise would not have been possible. Over in Kenya, there's a new nursery class that is opening in one of our churches. It's Glory Christian School, and it's going to cater for the youngest children. So all these things have been purchased and provided for them, all the things that you need for nursery class, the books, etc. The orphan project continues. We're now supporting 90 orphans in India through our brother Dipankar, and that's just a few pictures taken in the past week. And could I mention then, finally, Romania. Our sister Emma Varan traveled to Moldovanoa, where they were originally from, and visited the Roma community, and particularly Krina's home in this village. And she was able to pass on some gifts from the congregation here of food to help them. And you're going to hear this one, Victor, so you can tell me what it means. If you can lip read. And it's actually in Romanian, so I didn't understand it either. So you might as well have it in silence. But I did pick up some of the words, and she's thanking you in the Savior's name for the help given. And this is the kind of help, of course, that these folks need, some food. And you maybe recognize the little girl on the right-hand side. This is a beautiful little Roma girl called Sonia. And a number of years ago, we had a picture of her with the caption, "Pray for Romania." And some of you have that photograph. Do remember these folks before the Lord in prayer. Remember also our clerk of session. He's been on holiday, but he returns this afternoon, and he will be preaching tonight in Cookstown, or giving his testimony there. So pray for him as he travels to Cookstown. We're going to sing the hymn 142. It's been a long time since we've sung this hymn. "Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run, his kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moons shall wax and wane no more." When we get the introduction, we'll stand this time to sing. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you. coming to the next little section in the Gospel of Mark, in our studies in this Gospel, to Message 31, and it's Mark chapter 4, and we're reading just three verses, verse 30 through to 32. Mark chapter 4, verse 30. And he said, "Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." May God bless the short reading of his word to every heart. Let's look to him for his help. Let's pray. Almighty God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the worship of the Lord today. We thank thee for the praises that we've sung together. We give thanks for your word. As we look into it for a short time now, speak to our hearts, encourage us in the word, take us from this house of God today with a message in our heart that God has given, and may your name be exalted, and may much be made of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. So we're thinking about, of course, the parable of the mustard seed. Our blessed Savior has been relating several parables to his followers to help them understand what the kingdom of God is like. By the way, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are interchangeable terms. They mean the same thing. This term describes what God is doing in his church on earth. The phrase occurs regularly in the New Testament, primarily used by the Lord himself in the first three Gospels. It is the place where God reigns as king. I've explained to you before the word kingdom. You just need to think about the word and split it into two. You have the word king, dom. And that little word dom at the end is the abbreviated form of dominion. It is the king, dominion. It is where the king exercises dominion. It is the place where the Lord is recognized as having dominion, exercising authority, performing his will, carrying out his plan. It is not therefore referring to a geographical area. It is a spiritual area. It refers to the activity of the king himself, where he exercises his sovereign power. Now, this can best be considered as the church, the place where Christ is king, where the gospel is proclaimed, where God works in hearts, drawing men to himself, making them his subjects, bringing them under his domain. Now, there is, of course, a prophetic anticipation and application of the term to a future state. First of all, and depending on what your view of eschatology might be, this is referring to the millennial kingdom when Christ is king over the nations of the earth. And he reigns in the earth, and we pray for this, don't we? In the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come." And then there is the eternal kingdom of God, and that's heaven itself. He said to Pilate, the Lord Jesus did, in John chapter 18 and verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world." And he was referring to the eternal kingdom there. At the beginning of his ministry, when he was speaking to Nicodemus, Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And the Lord was referring to this spiritual and this eternal kingdom. No man can get to heaven unless they have the experience of the new birth, says the Lord Jesus Christ. The dying thief, the one that repented Well, there were two dying thieves, but the one that repented of his sin, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he was referring to something that was future. One day, as the great judge is sitting upon his eternal majestic throne, he will declare to his people that he has placed on the right side. You know the thought here from Matthew's gospel, the great sermon that Jesus preached on his coming again and the future state. He will say to those people, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But here in Mark chapter 4, as he preaches to the vast multitude standing on the shore, he himself sitting in the ship, he is relating the kingdom parables, which have a bearing on the here and now, this world, the condition of things in this gospel age. And you can confer the parallel portion of Scripture in Matthew chapter 13, where some of these parables are related, but others are mentioned. There are seven parables altogether there. They are the parables of the kingdom. The parable of the sower, the opening 20 verses of Mark chapter 4, is demonstrating what is happening in the world under gospel preaching in the church where Christ is presented. The sower is sowing the word into the hearts of men. It's a very powerful word, or a very powerful seed, because it is the word of God. And we're told how it is received. And that's pictured in the four grounds: the wayside, the stony, the thorny, and the good ground. The parable of the seed that we looked at last Lord's Day again shows how the seed is cast into the ground of men's hearts, where it brings forth fruit. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. At the appointed time, God puts in the sickle. The harvest has come, and he brings his children home. Now we come to the parable of the mustard seed. This illustrates primarily the growth of Christ's kingdom, how it has a very small beginning, pictured there with the tiny mustard seed. And yet it increases and expands into a mighty plant. This parable teaches how the kingdom of God spreads from one person to another, from one generation to another, from one nation to another. We learn about the advancement of God's kingdom and how God uses what seems to be little things to accomplish great things. The Church of Jesus Christ is spreading. Our blessed Lord and Savior is building his church in this world, through the nations of the world, as he promised to do. Souls are being saved. They are being brought into Christ's kingdom from the nations of the earth. This expansion work will continue until Jesus comes again. And we ought to be encouraged that the work of Christ's kingdom is continuing throughout this world, despite the persecution and opposition that we have in some countries, despite the worldliness that we have in other places, despite the apostasy, the falling away that is so prevalent, especially in the Western world. Despite the negligence at times of some believers, despite what the devil is doing, for he's opposing it every step of the way, and despite the weak instruments, you and I, that's all we are in the hands of God. Sometimes there's a greater evidence of this than others. We see a real move of God and the kingdom of God advancing. Some countries are visited with a special visitation of the Lord in salvation than other places. But the work goes on, and that's what the Lord is teaching. And I want to set before you three simple thoughts today. First of all, we have the start of this kingdom. Look at verse 30 and 31 again. Jesus said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds. This is a very, very powerful statement. It may even have startled and shocked the hearers of Christ. The kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed. The mustard seed was the smallest of all seeds known to these people in the days of Christ, just a tiny, insignificant seed. Because of its size, it became the symbol of something that was very tiny. It takes about 750 of these seeds to make up a single gram. There are 28 grams in an ounce. There are between 15,000 and 21,000 mustard seeds in an ounce. And so you can appreciate how tiny and minuscule it was. This is what the Lord decided to be the perfect illustration to help the disciples understand something about the kingdom of God. This is how the kingdom of God started in New Testament times. Just a small, little group of despised believers, weak, feeble, insignificant of themselves, looking from the outside, examining this tiny little seed, you would conclude, I don't think it's going to come to much. This little seed is planted in the ground. Imagine the astonishment of the disciples when they heard that. The Lord is describing his kingdom, God's kingdom. Surely he would use something big and majestic as an object lesson in order to captivate the imagination of these men. A towering mountain, a mighty river, a magnificent oak tree. But no, Jesus says it's like a mustard seed sown in the earth. You could not imagine anything that is more insignificant, pathetic, and seemingly worthless. If this seed was lying on the ground, you would not be able to see it. How much more impossible when it's buried in the ground, as the Lord speaks about here. It's out of sight completely. Come with me to the time of Christ on the earth. He chose just 12 men, 12 disciples. They were undoubtedly weak and insignificant of themselves. Many of them were fishermen. They were called by their enemies unlearned and ignorant men. When these Jews in Acts chapter 4 saw the boldness of Peter and John, they were amazed, and they saw that they were uneducated. They had no letters after their name. They had not studied in the schools of the rabbis. They were not doctors of the law. They were not great leaders like the Pharisees and the scribes were. Describing this small beginning, J.C. Ryle said, weakness and apparent insignificance were undoubtedly the characteristics of its beginning. How did its head and king come into the world? He came as a feeble infant, born in a manger at Bethlehem, without riches or armies or attendants or power. Who were the men that the head of the church gathered round himself and appointed as his apostles? They were poor and unlearned persons, fishermen, publicans, and men of like occupations, to all appearance, the most unlikely people to shake the world. These 12 weak instruments in the hand of God. Now come with me to an upper room where 120 are gathered in a prayer meeting, seeking the Lord after the resurrection of Christ, calling upon his name. For 10 days they prayed. And from that place of prayer,
filled with the Holy Spirit of God, they went out into the streets of Jerusalem to preach the glorious gospel. And a great work was done, as we'll see in a moment. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end shall greatly increase. That reminds us of our own work, doesn't it? And the promise that was given to Sandy McCauley all those years ago. Just a small, despised group of people out there in Cabra seeking the Lord and calling upon his great name. A handful of praying people. Many a great work of God began small, just a mustard seed. God has often taken a specially anointed minister or a Holy Spirit-filled evangelist or a missionary with a great vision and burden and used them mightily. It was just a little mustard seed in the divine hand. That's the start of the kingdom. But then I want you to notice, secondly, the spread of the kingdom. We come again to verse 31, just the end of it. It's less than all the seeds that be in the earth, verse 32. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches. This tiny mustard seed germinated, began to grow until it expanded into a massive plant, into something that resembles a great tree, and then it shot out its branches. Some mustard seeds have been known to grow as high as 15, even 30 feet tall. So here's the picture that Jesus wants to present: something very small becoming something very large. Something very insignificant becoming something very significant. Small things can become mighty things when those things are in the hands of the Almighty. We should never judge what God is doing by how it starts, but rather how it ends. Think of the early New Testament church, the 12 disciples that the Lord initially chose at the beginning of his ministry, the 120 men and women at the end of his ministry, when he's now left the earth, gathered in the upper room. And there were others besides, undoubtedly, in the city of Jerusalem that knew the Lord, but 120 were at the prayer meeting on that occasion. And then we think of the 8,000 converted, probably on the same day, the day of Pentecost, through the preaching of Peter and the other apostles. 3,000, and then later on, 5,000. It's likely that 3 were converted at the morning service, and another 5,000 were converted at the evening service, 8,000, and how the work began to grow and mushroom and spread out. Think of the ministry of the disciples, these men that God chose. Peter appears to have preached in Pontus, Galatia, Bithynia, Cappadocia, and Asia to the Jews in the dispersion. Others we know went to the region of the Black Sea and to Asia Minor. The Greek historians reveal that Thomas brought the gospel to Parthia and preached the gospel to the Medes, the Persians, the Carmans, the Hyrcani, the Bactrians, and the neighboring nations. You're asking, where's that? Do you know that these lands are now known to us as Iran and Afghanistan? Gospel going out into those countries back in the days of these disciples. We believe that Thomas also went to India and preached the gospel there. The Apostle John may have gone to France. There's some indication that that might have been so. And sources tell us that Matthias, you remember Matthias replaced Judas Iscariot, he went to Dacius. I was very interested in that because, do you know where Dacius is? It's Romania and Macedonia. Andrew went to the land of the man-eaters. Do you know where that is?
That's the Soviet Union. And Christians there today, they claim him as the first person to bring the gospel to their land. Matthew, the tax collector, the writer of the first gospel, we are told, ministered in Persia and Ethiopia. Philip possibly had a very powerful ministry in Carthage, in North Africa, and then in Asia Minor. See how the gospel is going out? This little mustard seed, the 12, the 120, the 8,000, now spreading to the lands, the nations of the earth in these days, in these early days of ministry. Think of the great apostle Paul, who came a little bit later on the scene. Paul was to teach the Gentiles, and he did that in Cyprus, in Asia Minor, and in Greece, and he planned to go to Spain and may have gone even to Britain. You remember he said when he wrote in Romans 15 and 28, I will come by you into Spain. That was his intention. The Spanish people here today, they'll know this. The gospel going out. Paul may be coming to Spain, maybe coming as far as Britain itself. Let's speed up a little bit. Come through the centuries of time to the great period of missionary endeavor through the earth. Think of men like William Carey. William Carey lived from 1761 to 1834. He's known as the father of modern missions. He went to India for 41 years. Carey persisted in his work in India to capture the souls of men. I think it was something like 6 years, maybe even eight, before he saw his first convert. You can say that was just a little grain of mustard seed. When he died, there were over 30 missionaries throughout India. There were 40 native teachers and approximately 600 church members. And what about today in India? My dear friends, there are hundreds of thousands of believers in that land. Yes, even into the millions. You and I are just like a mustard seed in the hand of God. Something that's small, tiny, insignificant. Most people on this planet will never know our names, and that's not important. But you can be a mustard seed in God's purpose to do great things in your family, in your community, among your friends, and maybe further afield as an evangelist or as a missionary. We do not know, but maybe sitting here in this church is the next Spurgeon or the next D.L. Moody or the next Billy Sunday or the next David Livingstone. For all we know, but God knows a little mustard seed that's sitting here somewhere that will become great in the eyes of God and accomplish much for His glory. The world has yet to see what God can do with a man that is fully consecrated to Him. Wasn't that the word that D.L. Moody heard as he sat and listened to the message that day? And in his heart he says, by the grace of God, I will be that man. And God took that little mustard seed, D.L. Moody, and He made him into something mighty for the spread of the gospel, the spread of the kingdom of God throughout this world. I have one other thought that I want to leave with you, and that is the shelter of the kingdom. And you want to notice the last little phrase there in verse 32, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. So this little mustard seed has grown up. As this verse tells us, it's become greater than all the herbs. It has shot out the great branches. Now the picture of the fowls of the air coming to shelter takes shade beneath those great branches. This smallest of all seeds becomes the largest of all plants in the garden and grows long branches where the birds can make nests and in its shade. The influence of the gospel spreads through the world with its mighty branches, those long branches. All types of birds, maybe just referring here to people, have been blessed by the shade
of those branches. In the shadow of this great plant, there's a refuge. First and foremost, there's a refuge for poor sinners. Poor sinners in this town and further afield. And as the branches have gone out into the world, poor sinners can come and find refuge under the great branches of the kingdom of God. Oh, the kingdom of God reaches across this vast world to bring the dear unconverted with all their sin to rest in the shelter that is beneath the mighty Savior. I trust that we'll see much of that in these days. The branches spread themselves abroad, offering a shadow from the burdens of life and from the storms of this old world. You know, there's actually a picture here of food and medicine. People gathered the leaves off the mustard seed and served them up as food. The seeds were also crushed and mixed with other things to make medicine to help with snake, scorpion, and spider bites. It was also used to fight colds and other diseases. Within God's kingdom, there is food for the hungry soul. They can come and feed in Christ. And there is spiritual medicine for the sick and for the weary. As the long branches of the kingdom of God spread out, they have brought wonderful shade and shelter to many souls in the generations and nations. Most importantly, it has brought the message of salvation to a perishing world, and how we praise God for that. But you know, there are many other blessings that the kingdom of God has given. Everywhere the kingdom of God has gone, it has brought hospitals, schools, truth, morality, decency, and compassion. Wherever the kingdom has gone, it has abolished cannibalism, child sacrifice, polygamy, demonism, slavery, racism, and 1,000 other such evils. It has built orphanages. It has cared for the sick. It has given food to the hungry. It has provided emergency aid for all kinds of needs and comforted the bereaved. These long branches that shoot out, this kingdom of God. Oh, may God help us all to be a mustard seed in the hand of God, doing what we can to promote His glory and extend His kingdom. God can take the smallest thing that we do, the most insignificant contribution, and He can turn it into a blessing that reaches a multitude. Don't overlook the mustard seed moments in your life. That little conversation you had where you shared the word of God with someone else may have been the turning point in their life, for all you know. That short prayer that you prayed with your friend may be the key to mountains being moved in their lives. That small act of kindness and generosity because of your love for Christ may have changed lives completely. And we know that it has. I want our church to be a mustard seed in the hand of God that grows into a great spiritual plant whose branches reach out across this town and further afield. I believe in some measure God has done that already. We talked about the small days of Cabra and over these 70 years what God has been pleased to do. The sending out of those branches across the world, even as we think of our missionaries. And we think of the great potential of the students that are now in Bible college and what God is going to do in and through them. And what God is going to do in and through you that are sitting in this church building today. May the Lord help us to learn from the instruction of Christ as He has presented to us here the parable of the mustard seed. As we think of the kingdom of God, that's how He describes it. May the Lord help us to see the little seed grow into something great for His glory.
Let's bow together in prayer. Almighty God and gracious Father, thank Thee for Your word today. Thank Thee for what God has done. Ever since those early days in the kingdom of God, the 12 disciples, the 120 that prayed in the upper room, the 8,000 that were converted on the day of Pentecost, these disciples and many others besides going into the nations of the world, reaching places like Afghanistan and Iran, places like India, Romania, Macedonia, Asia Minor, right across the world, coming to Europe. Think of those that maybe went to France and Spain and maybe as far as Britain. We know that the gospel eventually came here. How thankful we are that the branches have reached us and we have come under the sound of the gospel and under the scope of the kingdom of God. Lord, be pleased to take each Christian here today as a little mustard seed in Your hand. Use them for Your glory. Help them, Lord, to shoot out across their family, across their neighborhood, and even further afield. Lord, use even me for Your honor and for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn is 478. Savior, Thy dying love, Thou gavest me, nor should I aught withhold, my Lord, from Thee. In love my soul would bow, my heart fulfill its vow. Some offering bring Thee now, something for Thee. It's a hymn of dedication, giving your life to the Lord. Maybe some little mustard seed here today. Just say, Lord, that's all I am. I'm a mustard seed, tiny, insignificant, nothing really. But Lord, take me and use me for Your glory. Stand to sing. Bless Thee that one day we're going to see Thy face. going to look upon the Savior, the one who saved us by his grace. Lord, help us to labor to, in the light of that day, towards that day. Help us, Lord, to serve thee to the best of our ability. Help us to do something for the Lord. Take our lives, Lord. Let them be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Just these little mustard seeds. Use us, Lord, for your honor and glory. Dismiss us now in your fear and love, and keep your gracious hand upon us through the afternoon. Bless the open air and then family night tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You will be asked to leave row by row. Thank you for coming. God bless you.